Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on a Sunday afternoon. Real fast before we get going, if you're looking for some wrestling today, DOA in our neck of the woods in Portland, Oregon. Also today, like usual, UWA Blue Collar Wrestling with the North Portland Eagles, 7611 North Exeter. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest on right now. He is out of the great state of New York. Gabriel Sky, welcome to the program.
What's up, man? How are you? I'm excited to be here. Thank you for letting me on your show, guys.
Our pleasure to have you. Now, since it's your first day with us, we'll give you the first timer's question to start. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Basically, all my life, I've been watching professional wrestling. Kudos to my dad for getting me into it at an early age. He was a fan, and so was my mom. And just growing up, I always just watched, WWE. And then as I got older, I got into different wrestling companies, TNA, New Japan, all these other different independent companies. And just, watching all of that, it sparked something inside of me, and I wanted to be a part of it. And, here I am now, 19 years old, doing it out here on the East Coast. I'm very happy to be a part of the professional wrestling business today.
Obviously, you started at a fairly young age. What would you say was some of your background that most prepared you to get into the wrestling business at your age?
Prior to training for professional wrestling in high school and as a young kid, I did some sports, not a lot of sports. I did track and field. I partook in amateur wrestling a little bit. And then when I was younger, I did soccer and volleyball. And then I also, in my teen years, started going to the gym because, I thought, might as well if I'm trying to prepare to be a professional wrestler. So I thought all that really physically helped me prepare my body for what professional wrestling really endures and what it really takes on your body to do it.
Now, at your age, you may not have run into this just yet, but anyone that has been around the business for a long while has had to go overcome injuries, small ones, major ones, but it's always part of the business. Have you to this point come across any injuries that slowed you down?
Not really anything big. Some minor injuries in different matches, different match types. I think one, it wasn't really an injury, but I think one that really shocked me was one that happened in a match with me and Jack Gallo for the FTW World Heavyweight Championship back in September. I went for a suicide dive on him, and he caught me on his shoulders in the fireman's press, in a fireman's carry, I should say, and he launched me into the ring post, and after that, the wind was knocked out of me. So I think that it's not really an injury, but it was something that was a first-timer for me. And it definitely shocked me, but definitely not the worst thing to happen. Definitely something that was, rather overcomable, I should say. So thank God, no injuries yet. Thank God.
Up in your area in New York, they have a commission that oversees professional wrestling. I know that the New York Commission is one of the tougher ones in the country. What would your impression so far be of the New York State Athletic Commission, and what do you think of commissions as a whole as it relates to professional wrestling in 2018?
Well, thankfully, I haven't really ran into any troubles with the commission in my career so far, but I know that they are a bit strict where we are here in New York, and from what I've heard and what I've seen, it really limits some performers. Capacity? I don't know. It limits, I guess, some things that performers really want to do. Whether that be, you know, hardcore match types or certain moves or, I don't know, just crowd interactions. I think a lot of that has been brought to a limit or brought to a certain kind of restriction by the New York State Athletic Commission. But I think because of that, it only makes us work harder because we have certain limits that we have to uphold and that we have to overcome. So it only makes us think more and work harder. And I know in New Orleans this past WrestleMania weekend, there were a lot of restrictions over there in the new Louisiana Athletic Commission as well. But from what I saw from being over there and seeing all kinds of things that performers were doing, I think a lot of wrestlers were able to overcome those restrictions and guidelines. And I think that I also think that to answer your second question, what I think about athletic commissions as a whole, I think that they should review those current guidelines, because a lot of those guidelines were made back years and decades ago when they didn't really know what professional wrestling really was. And now that there's more of a definition to it, and now that basically everybody knows what it is, they should review those guidelines and make it more suitable for what is going on currently today.
I believe it was last year in New York when one of the commissioners stopped an intergender match from happening right before they started the match. The promoter demanded to see the rule on the books that would prevent that. The commissioner, after a very long search, could not find it, so the match resumed and was allowed to happen. In your career so far, have you had any intergender matches? And have you seen the commission around when there have been intergender matches?
I personally haven't partook in any intergender matches as of yet, but I also haven't seen any intergender matches get shut down in the New York area. I think a lot of a lot of intergender matches do happen in the New York area as well, though. But thankfully, not yet. I haven't seen any of those matches get shut down.
Now, in your career, I'm obviously realizing that you're still young in your career, but in professional wrestling, it's sort of like the circus where there is something for everyone. There are comedy matches, there are hardcore matches, there are mat-based technical matches, there are high-flying acrobatic matches. I know there's a lot of styles out there. Do you yourself have a personal preference as far as which style of match that you most enjoy doing?
That's a very good question. I think my style of match is, I honestly feel like I don't really have a certain style. I'm a high flyer wrestler, and whoever I'm in there with, I try and adapt to what their style is. Whether I'm in the ring with Jack Gallo, who's a brawler and a technician, I try and adapt to that and try to combat that with my own technical abilities and my own high-flying abilities. Or whether I'm in the ring with a wrestler like Johnny Collins, who's also a bit of a high flyer and a technical wrestler as well. I try and combat those and match their styles. And I think none of my matches as of yet have really taken place outside of what a normal match is. So I haven't really had any no-holds-barred matches, steel cage matches, any of that sort yet. But when the time does come for that, I think we'll see a different side to what I can really bring to the table in those kinds of matches.
Now, what would you say in your career to this point has been the funniest match that you've had? Because I know that no matter what the style, sometimes there's a comedic element to any style of match, especially in certain promotions where they try to mix the styles a little bit in the same match. What would you say has been the funniest one you've had?
I think... funniest one that I've had, I think maybe being in there with Coach Mamone. He's really someone who walks the line between comedy and very serious, because he can flip a switch like that, but when he has you in the palm of your hands as his opponent, he really knows how to crack jokes in there, whoever he's in there with. And It's a pleasure being in there with him, being in there and kicking his butt a little bit, but he knows how to make you laugh.
On the flip side of that, what would you say has been the absolute toughest match that you've been in physically?
I think the toughest match that I've been in physically would have to be my match with Jack Gallo from last year in September for the World Heavyweight Championship. And that was the match that I was talking about earlier where I had the wind knocked out of me after getting tossed into the ring post. Later on in that match, I went for 450 and he moved out of the way. And as soon as I landed on the mat, I had the wind knocked out of me again. It was a very physical match. I think Jack Gallo was definitely the hardest hitting opponent that I've ever had. And it only made me respect him even more than I already do. You know, he's my teacher and he's my friend. And being in there with him as his opponent, you know, it only made me show him so much more respect after the match and only have so much more admiration for what he does and what he's been through. And I think that match, you know, all the brutality that I went through in that match, trying to take him down, trying to gain that FTW World Heavyweight Championship, it was definitely the most grueling match that I've ever had. But I'm very thankful for what that match brought me.
Now, I don't know if you've traveled a lot outside of the New York area, but part of professional wrestling is the travel. And even on the independent circuit, some guys will travel 8, 10, 12 hours to get from one booking to the next. What would you say so far has been the longest road trip that you've had?
The longest road trip that I've had? I actually just recently went to Florida to wrestle for FTW, I believe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it wasn't really a long trip. I flew out there from MacArthur Airport to Tampa, but I think that's definitely the farthest place that I've gone to wrestle, and it was a great experience, and I definitely hope that this year I can broaden my horizons and wrestle other places like that, no matter where it is in the country.
Now, independent wrestling right now is seeing a lot of promotions pick up television. Some promotions get on standard television, be it an independent channel or one of the affiliates. You see a lot of promotions going to streaming services, whether it be their own streaming service or something like the Fight TV app or the Roku channels. If you've been watching any of the independent TV shows out there right now, who would you say on the independent level has the best TV product?
I'd have to say on an independent level for that, I think one name that really comes to my mind when I think about that, all the different streaming services that are, you know, these independent wrestling companies becoming affiliated with, one name that really pops up in my mind when I think about that is Beyond Wrestling, because they went from this really small promotion to gaining more notoriety throughout the years, having their own streaming service on YouTube for a little bit, to now being on Powerbomb TV. And, you know, ever since Powerbomb TV has launched, they've been a big staple of what that streaming service really is. And I think they are on a whole nother level right now. You know, you look at the guys that have come through there and, you know, been from there, whether it's Johnny Gargano or John Gresham or, you know, Chris Hero, Joey Janela, all these guys have gone to Beyond Wrestling and have, you know, gained famous notoriety after coming through there. That's really a big name that, you know, always pops up in my mind whenever I think about different independent wrestling streaming services.
One of the things that a lot of fans take for granted that is very vital to the success of professional wrestling, and a lot of times it isn't even appreciated by everyone in the business, is a good referee. They can make a bad match a little bit better. They can make a good match a lot worse if they don't know what they're doing. Some promoters don't appreciate them, and you see that reflect on the shows. Some promoters use only the very best quality referees, and that seems to also reflect. In your own career, who would you say are some of the better referees out there that more promoters should be trying to book onto their shows?
Very good question. I think I really like to agree with your point that you said earlier. Referees are a big, vital part of what a match really is. They play a big part in, you know, no matter what match it is, no matter who's in there, they're that third person that everybody sees, because when we need the referees in there. They're a big part of what it is. They're a big part of how we do things and, you know, how things are communicated in there. But I think a referee that I always love having in there with me is referee Mark Dundee from Kaiju Big Battle. He is honestly probably the best referee on the East Coast today. And he's been a referee for so many different matches, so many different superstars that, you know, everybody knows today. And he's always a joy to be in there with. And he's honestly probably my favorite personal referee.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. And I know that QT has some questions also, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Gabriel.
How are you?
Not too bad. Gabriel, we usually start out the second half of our show with a standard question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received in the ring?
Hardest knife-edge chop I've received in the ring? Probably from the Grim Reaper. We recently had a match last month in the Elks Lodge for FTW, and I was chopped numerous times throughout that match. And just after that match, I remember walking around the venue and other wrestlers being like, dude, are you okay? Like, are you fine? And, like, I didn't notice what they were talking about until I looked down and saw my chest was covered in red. So I think he was definitely the person that's chopped me the hardest in that ring.
Whoa, man. Okay, now how tall and how heavy does the Grim Reaper go?
Me and him are about the same height, and I think he weighs, I want to say, like maybe 205, 200.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Peter Griffin on The Family Guy has often run into the Grim Reaper. Are you a big fan of the Grim Reaper on Family Guy?
I guess so. He's a funny character. I remember watching him growing up on that show. He is a pretty interesting character. He had a lot of different layers to him.
So, in your opinion, in a Hell in a Cell match, who could win between the Grim Reaper and Glenn Quagmire?
Probably the Grim Reaper.
Oh, okay. All right. Just because he has a thing where he can time travel and stuff like that?
Yeah, that and, you know, him touching you and you instantly die. So.
Yeah. Okay, that's a fair assessment. Okay. Well, Gabriel, we recently had on a guest who, when he was a tag team member, went up against a tag team that was called or billed that this tag team hails from the ninth ring of Dante's Inferno. I give you aggravated assault. Well, Gabriel, right there, when the announcer messed up, did you ever see the movie Dumb and Dumber, where they killed the mobster hitman with a dose of rat poison, and the restaurant that they were in was called Dante's Inferno? Do you remember this?
I have seen Dumb and Dumber, but for some reason, I don't remember that scene. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Well, both Harry and Lloyd, on their road trip, they made a stop at that restaurant called Dante's Inferno. Well, any time that you mention Dante's Inferno to someone, you know, that watched the movie, they crack up. Well, this wrestling tag team called Aggravated Assault, whenever they're induced from the ninth circle of Dante's of Hell, I have heard through my wrestling sources that people start to laugh.
That is very funny.
If
I remember that scene, I probably would laugh as well.
Well, okay. Well, afterwards, after the interview, I urge you to go on YouTube and look up Dumb and Dumber, and maybe you can find this scene. If you put in Dumb and Dumber rat poison scene, you can see the extended clip of it, and it'll show Harry and Lloyd entering Dante's Inferno restaurant. Yes.
Definitely. I'll definitely look it up. Thank you.
Now, what are the name of some of the tag teams that you yourself have belonged to and don't make people laugh? What are some of the tag teams?
I've been in a tag team with Steve Pena. We tag teamed last year against Alpha Psi in FTW. We didn't really have a name, but it was fun to tag team with him. And I also teamed with Mikey What Now for Latino Action Wrestling. And we had, for some reason, I don't remember the name of our tag team, but it was, I think it was a spinoff of the Bill and Ted movies, a spinoff of the name of the Bill and Ted movies. But those are the only two tag teams that I've been in so far.
Okay, that you're talking about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You're talking kind of like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes, it was something along the lines of that. We ripped a name off of one of them, but it was very funny. I wish that I could remember what it was right now.
Well, now when you talk about human wrestling, there's the Shakara Wrestling. Do you follow Shakara Wrestling? That has one of my favorite wrestlers, Shockwave the Robot, sometimes appear there.
Yes, I follow them somewhat. I used to watch a lot of their stuff before I started wrestling as well.
Are you familiar with a wrestler, Sugar Dunkerton?
Yes, Sugar Dunkerton. I remember hearing a lot about him as a young kid as well. And he's still he's a great wrestler. He still wrestles a lot.
Oh, yes. Yes, his YouTube videos are pretty popular. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. Okay. And are you familiar with a wrestler from, I believe it's Eastern Kentucky, not Western Kentucky, the Liberal Democrat, who comes to the ring in Hillary T-shirts?
Oh, yeah. What's his name? He just wrestled for FTW like a few months ago. Do you remember what his name was?
No, I don't know his work name. I just know him as a Liberal Democrat.
Yeah.
He's a Liberal Dan Richards.
Yes. Yes. I've met him before. I'm familiar with his work.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Gabriel, you mentioned to some guy that you went out for track and field. Can I ask you what events you turned out for?
I ran for long distance, and that was pretty much all that I did. I wasn't really good at any sports growing up, and I didn't really win like any big awards or have any big achievements, but that was pretty much all that I did in track and field.
Do you believe that your participation in track and field laid the foundations for your cardio health and aerobic stamina?
Definitely. I definitely feel like it helped me prepare a lot in, you know, cardio and stamina and trying to make sure that I have all of my energy out there and I'm willing to give 100% no matter what event that it was. And, you know, today, no matter what match it is, I feel like it definitely helped me a lot. Same thing with amateur wrestling as well.
Do you know that the current record holder in the 800 meters, David Rudisha of Kenya, ran his half-mile world record in a time of 1 minute and 41 seconds flat? 1:41.
Wow, that's insane. That is just simply amazing.
That's almost 50 seconds per lap, 50 seconds flat per lap, almost.
That's incredible. I couldn't even touch that. Nowhere near.
Could you approach David Rudisha if you were on a bicycle? If you left.
On a bicycle, maybe. Maybe, just maybe.
Oh, okay. Now, do you know that Dave Rudisha is a 2-time Olympic gold medal winner? 2 times in a row.
That's incredible.
Yes,
that's
yes,
a hell
very
of an
good.
Athlete, okay. Right there.
Yes. Well, Gabriel, have you always grown up in the city of New York?
Yes.
Or
I've
the
lived
New York.
Yeah, I've lived in New York all my life. I lived in New York previously in Queens, and then maybe about 9 years ago, I made my way out to Long Island, and I've been out here ever since.
Doesn't Long Island have a semi-pro baseball team?
Sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Now, most of the members of the seminal rock group, punk rock group, and most say a pioneering rock group, the Ramones, grew up in Queens.
Yep, I love the Ramones. I love the Ramones.
Have you ever been to CBGB's, the Bowery Landmark where they got their start? CBGB's.
No, never been there. But I have been to Rockaway Beach. I live there.
Yeah,
I lived there
Rockaway
for
Beach.
10 years, yeah.
Holy smokes, okay. All right. Did your parents give you enough space to qualify you as a free-range kid, meaning you could go off and explore the five boroughs yourself? Were you a free-range kid?
Well, I never, as a kid, I never explored the five boroughs by myself. But obviously now I have, so as a professional wrestler and as an adult, I've been able to do those things. But I definitely feel like they gave me a lot of free-range and a lot of space, and I'm forever grateful for that to them.
Now, I believe they have an aircraft carrier tied up near Manhattan. I think it's the Intrepid. Intrepid, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Intrepid. Right on the Lower East Side, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yes, they recently removed, a couple years ago, they towed it away from the pier after much tugging because part of the bottom of the ship was encased in mud, Hudson River mud. But a famous wrestling match took place on that aircraft carrier, and I believe it involved Hulk Hogan. I think Hulk Hogan.
Really? I'd be wrong, but didn't they host WWE Monday Night Raw on there at one point as well, like for just one episode or something?
That could be what I'm thinking of, yes.
Because I did hear something about a professional wrestling match taking place on the Intrepid one time, I believe.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up, do a Google search, and get back to you on that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's my
awesome
assignment. Okay. Well, Gabriel, Sign Guy mentioned earlier the distances that wrestlers sometimes travel. Is it your goal to one day to travel to Puerto Rico and Japan, hotbeds of wrestling?
Yes. That's honestly one of my biggest goals in this business and definitely a huge dream of mine. I definitely, you know, Japan, growing up and watching all these different guys come to Japan and come from Japan, whether it was Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, or whether it's the Japanese wrestlers themselves, some of my favorites, Shibata, Tetsuya Naito, Kazuchika Okada, Tanahashi, all those different guys, whether it's in New Japan or it's Noah or Dragon Gate, Japan is a huge goal of mine, and so is Puerto Rico as well, because, you know, as a Puerto Rican myself, I would love to go down there and just explore the quote-unquote homeland and, get my name out there as well, you know, along the likes of Carlos Colon and, you know, other Americans that have gone down there, such as Bruiser Brody. Those are two huge goals of mine, to wrestle in Japan and Puerto Rico. So hopefully one day in my career, I'll be fortunate enough to do that.
Now, speaking of Japanese wrestlers, I'm sure you're familiar with Tajiri, who did quite a bit of work with Jamie Noble. Was Tajiri one of your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Yes. I'm not going to say, I guess, one of my favorites, but he was definitely someone that I looked up to, and I definitely have always admired his style and his ring presence and all of that. He's just an amazing performer. Even now, still, nowadays, he still goes, and he's still just as good as he ever was.
Have you seen him in action on the independent circuit?
Yes. I've seen quite a few of his matches in independent wrestling companies nowadays. I think I might be wrong on this. I might be wrong on this, but I think he still wrestles for 0-1 out in Japan. And just recently, like not too long ago, I was watching a match of him and Mikey Whipwreck versus, I think it was Ricochet and Rich Swann, or it might have been Rich Swann and AR Fox and 2TW from a few years ago. And, like, you know, you can see even back then, he's still, like, he has not missed a step. He's an all-time legend, in my opinion.
In all the wrestlers that you have wrestled in the New York area, who would you like to most take over to Japan or have someone travel with you to be a tag team partner? Who do you think would most ingrate themselves very well to the Japanese fans and get along with them? It sounds like you could get along with the Japanese fans, but who would most fit in of all your opponents with you over there if you tag team?
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting question. Huh. I think someone like Smiley would really get over amazingly well with the crowd, because has so many different styles of matches, and he can adapt so well in that ring. Him and Dai were to become a tag team in Japan, it would just be a dream come true. And I'd also like to give a shout out to, I guess Jack Gallo would be amazing in Japan as well. He's got that hard hitting style, and you know, all this and technical abilities that, you know, I think the Japanese crowd would love. And I think those are two guys that I would love to tag team with if we were ever to go to Japan.
Oh, okay. Now, Smiley is kind of an unusual name. Is Smiley known for his good dental work?
I guess he could say that. I guess you can also say that, you know, sometimes he gives his opponents good dental work in the ring as well. So I guess he can say that.
Now, speaking of dental work, have you ever chipped or lost a tooth in a wrestling match yourself?
Thankfully not, no. Thankfully I haven't yet.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Okay. Well, Gabriel, can you tell us what your record was in high school when you wrestled? And was it freestyle competition or Greco-Roman?
It was freestyle competition, and I guess I'd rather not talk about my record. Like I said, I was never really good at any sport, you know, despite them, I guess, helping me prepare for professional wrestling, but I didn't really have, like, an outstanding record or anything. I wasn't very good at all.
Okay. Well, would you say that you were a slightly better track and field athlete than you were wrestler in high school?
Definitely was way better in track and field than wrestling.
Wow, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Could you ever jump your own height in the high jump, your own height?
I never tried it, but honestly, I probably could. I definitely think that I could.
Wow, you have that much leg strength, huh?
I'd say so myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Now, speaking of which, leg strength, a lot of times wrestlers have natural leg strength. A lot of times wrestlers have to spend miles running to develop or do heavy squats. Can you tell us what a typical leg workout day for you is when you do your legs?
Usually a typical leg day workout for me consists of the leg press. I usually press about anywhere between 200 to 250 pounds on the leg press machine. And squats in general, I also do at the gym. That also really helps. Come to think of it, I haven't done squats in a while. But I think the last time that I did do squats, I feel like it's not a very good amount of weight for a wrestler, but I did about, last time, I think maybe about somewhere around 150-something pounds, maybe. But, yeah.
You know, a WWE superstar who is known for his phenomenal leg strength and his ability to squat huge amounts of reps was Kurt Angle. Was Kurt Angle one of your idols growing up?
Yes. Always looked up to Kurt Angle. He's also another all-time great wrestler and definitely someone that I've always admired and looked up to. And his work is going to stand the test of time.
Was one of your favorite Kurt Angle moments was when he drove the milk truck down to the ring and sprayed milk into the ring, which is a polar opposite of Stone Cold Steve Austin spraying beer into the ring.
Yeah, that was a hilarious moment. Still, even now, so many people still talk about it today.
Yes. Yes, that was very funny. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Gabriel, is it safe to say that your mom and dad are your biggest fans?
Definitely. They're definitely my biggest fans, definitely my biggest supporters, and no matter what route and wrestling I go, no matter where I've gone, no matter what I've done or what I'll even plan to do, you know, they've always been so supportive of me. And I'll always be thankful to them for that as well. They've always been by my side in my decision to pursue professional wrestling. And, I can't really find the words to say for that, but they've always been my biggest supporters and biggest fans. So I always am forever grateful for their help.
Do you have any brothers and sisters that you used to childhood wrestle in the backyard? A sister?
Actually, yeah, I did. I have two brothers that when we were younger, obviously much smaller as children, we wrestled in the backyard. And those were always, I guess, fond moments to look back on.
Now, did you take the role as babyface when you wrestled your brothers?
Yeah, I guess. Sometimes I remember being a bad guy in our backyard stuff. So, yeah, I think most of the time I was a babyface, though.
Oh, okay. At any time, did you use any foreign objects on your brothers?
Never.
I never
always thought that was a little too dangerous. No foreign objects. Maybe like branches, but we wouldn't really like hit each other with it. And maybe, you know, championship belts that we had, but nothing too crazy.
Whoa, okay. Now, which of the brothers held the championship belt the longest? Can you recall?
I think my younger brother, he was always the longest reigning world champion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I gave him some leeway there. I gave him some leeway.
Now, if you were to travel back to your backyard today, could your younger brother reign supreme? That's what I'm going to ask.
I don't think so. I think there'd be some bad news in store for him in the form of Gabriel Sky.
Oh, okay. All right. I take it neither of your brothers followed in your footsteps and got into wrestling?
No, they haven't. They're also big fans, I guess, or they were. They still keep up with it a little bit today. But, you know, who knows? They're still young. Maybe one day I'll get an alliance formed with some of my brothers in professional wrestling. But as of right now, no, they haven't.
Okay. All right. Well, Gabriel, Sangay is a referee out here in the Northwest. And at Blue Collar Wrestling, he has had several run-ins with the bell ringer, or he used to have several run-ins with the bell ringer. When Sangay singled for several matches to start, the bell ringer ignored him, and instead the crowd called for the bell to ring, and he listened to the crowd's request instead of Sangay's. Sangay eventually had a stipulation match against the bell ringer. My question is, have you ever been in a match where the referee and bell ringer weren't on the same page?
Maybe one time where the bell ringer forgot to ring the bell or just wasn't on cue to ring the bell when the referee signaled for it. And then, you know, that same thing kind of happened where the crowd called for the bell and they were like, ding, ding, ding. So I think that's only ever happened to me once, but that's a very interesting story. That's crazy to me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Gabriel, during the spring and summer of 1987, a masked duo wrestled as jobbers to the stars. They did not last long and were gone by the fall of 1987. They wore gray and black jumpsuits and masks, and they were known as the Shadows. The Shadows wrestled as entertainment talent from May 1987 through August of 1987 on weekly telecasts and house shows. They routinely lost to the Killer Bees, the Rougeau Brothers, and the Young Stallions. Are there any truths to the rumors that I hear from my wrestling sources out of Shelton, Washington, that inspired by the mass duo, the Shadows, and now being 30 and a half years later, that you yourself are going to shortly announce that you are becoming a masked shadow in your area? A masked shadow.
Let's see. I mean, never say never in the business, I guess. You never know what can happen. So, you never know. Maybe Gabriel Sky will become Gabriel Shadow one day.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yes, that was who that I was going to say. Can you give us a hint of who you would do your be your shadow brother? Who your shadow brother would be? Aha! Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what if you teamed with a female shadow? Who would it be? A female shadow in your area?
Female shadow in my area?
Yes. Who would you think most likely team to be a shadow wrestling team?
A woman out of the Northeast. A woman wrestler out of the Northeast.
Yes.
Interesting question. There's a lot of awesome female wrestlers right now that are kicking butt all over the world that have come from the Northeast. But let's see. Who could I choose? That's a very hard question. I think maybe Candy Cartwright. She's been kicking butt all over the place, so maybe she would make a good, I guess what would you call it, shadow sister?
Yes, yes. All right, sure. So you're saying Candy Cartwright would look the best in the gray and black jumpsuit and mask that the Shadows wore back in 1987.
Sure. I've never seen the costumes, but I guess that would look pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Now that brings me, speaking of female wrestlers, what's the hardest knife edge chop you've received from a female wrestler? Is it indeed Candy Cartwright?
Probably her, maybe one time in practice. Maybe her.
Whoa, wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Gabriel, in tag team competition at WrestleMania 3, Jockus and Raymond Rougeau lost to Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake in what would be their last match together. At the bout's conclusion, Beefcake was ousted and replaced by Dino Bravo. Dino was a former co-holder of the WWF tag team titles in the late 1970s. The Canadian Dino Bravo had made his return in 1986. He immediately hooked up with manager Johnny Valiant and began to tell him that Brutus was the team's weak link. The inevitable change happened at WrestleMania 3, and Valentine and Bravo formed a new dream team. This version lacked the magic of the original Valentine Beefcake combo, and that was probably due to the fact that Valentine and Bravo legitimately disliked each other. My question is, have you ever had to team with a wrestler you genuinely disliked?
Thankfully never. Not as of yet. I've only teamed with Steve Pena and Mikey Whatnow, and they were great tag team partners. Definitely would love to tag team with them again one day.
Who did you yourself prefer individually? Dino Bravo or Greg Valentine? Who did you prefer?
Greg Valentine or Dino Bravo? Maybe Greg Valentine. I'm going to go with the hammer.
Okay. Now, do you ever see a time where you yourself are called the ball peen hammer?
I don't think so. I've never been called that. I don't know if I'll be called that in the future, but it hasn't happened to me yet.
All right, very good. All right. Well, Gabriel, Jerry the King Lawler had a quote about the great Khali. He said, "This man can make a horror movie without the makeup." My question is, what are your three favorite horror movies of all time, and was Kane in one of them?
I'm sad to say that Kane was not in one of them, but See No Evil was a great movie. See No Evil was a great movie. But my favorite, my three favorite horror movies, in no particular order, I'd have to say Halloween, the original Halloween from the 1970s.
Okay.
Number two would have to be, man, this is a bit difficult. I love horror movies. I'd have to say maybe, I forgot which Nightmare on Elm Street movie it is, but A Nightmare on Elm Street, it's the one with the kids that end up in the mental hospital. That one is definitely in my top three. I don't remember if that's five or six or even four or even three. I don't remember, but that one is definitely in my top three. And my final choice would have to go to, I guess The Exorcist.
Oh, very good one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I think that was Ozzy Osbourne's favorite horror movie also. Ozzy Osbourne. Okay.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, Gabriel, Jake the Snake Roberts was quoted as saying, "When I die, it won't be from another's sword, but by the unstoppable heartbeat of dreams." Which brings the question to you. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your resting pulse is?
My resting pulse?
Yes.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, now, speaking of resting pulses, did you know that the great miler, Jim Ryan, used to have a resting pulse of only 38 beats a minute? 38 beats a minute.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yes. The only reason why I asked what your pulse rate was because I was intrigued by that unstoppable heartbeat of dreams, a quote by Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, that is a very interesting quote. I've never heard that quote before, but that's awesome that you said that.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Gabriel, Chris Jericho was quoted as saying, if Shakespeare was alive today, he would be writing wrestling shows. My question is, are you a big fan of Fozzy, the band Chris sings for? Fozzy.
I actually am. I'm a big fan of Fozzy. Even growing up, like as a teenager, I loved Fozzy. I remember I used to buy Fozzy merchandise. I still have like my Fozzy t-shirt in my closet from, I think it was Let the Madness Begin. It's an awesome t-shirt. I love Fozzy. The music is so good.
Now, did you see the Monday Night Raw episode where ZZ Top was host and Chris Jericho met them backstage and he said to both members of ZZ Top, since the drummer, Mr. Beard was not there, he said, "I've always enjoyed your music. Maybe you've heard of my band, Fozzy." And ZZ Top got a puzzled look on their faces. Did you ever see that seminal moment?
I don't think I've ever seen that moment, but I did see the episode of Raw where Fozzy performed on Raw.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do a homework assignment instead of Dumb and Dumber, where you look up Dante's Inferno that restaurant where they knocked off the hitman. I'm going to give you the what I would say would be a better homework assignment and look up a ZZ Top on Monday Night Raw and their encounter with Chris Jericho.
I'll definitely look that up. That is so funny.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Gabriel, it's been very good to have you on the show. I had some more questions, mainly about Jim Ross, who produced his own line of beef jerky and barbecue sauce. And I had a question about barbecue sauces yourself, if you would one day ever produce your own sauce. However, we're starting to run short on time. So at this time, I'm going to give you the time to plug and promote anything you want, maybe even perhaps your favorite JR barbecue sauce.
Sure.
Yes.
So first, I want to thank you for having me on the show. This was an awesome experience. Thank you so much. And I'd also, for any of you people listening out there, if you want to follow me on social media, you can catch me on Facebook at Gabriel Sky and also on Twitter and Instagram at FOF Gabe Sky. Sky is spelled with an E after the Y. And if anyone has any booking inquiries that they'd like to contact me for, you can email me at fightorflightgabesky@gmail.com. That's fightorflightgabesky@gmail.com. And my favorite JR's barbecue sauce. honestly, I've never had JR's barbecue sauce, but hopefully one day I can acquire some. And also, support FTW Wrestling. We're going to have a show in Glendale, New York, on April 27th at 7 p.m. in Sacred Heart Catholic Academy.
Well, hopefully Sign Guy and myself will someday get out to the New York area. And if we do, we may bring you a JR's Chipotle Ketchup, JR's Original Barbecue Sauce, or maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin's favorite JR sauce, JR's Hot Barbecue Sauce. Maybe we could slip you a bottle. Yes.
Yes, definitely. I would love that.
All right. Well, Gabriel, it's been great to have you on the show, and we hope to have you back sometime in the future. And good luck with your homework assignment, the ZZ Top Chris Jericho encounter.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'd love to be back one day. Thank you guys so much.
All right.